Previously on the Back to You podcast.
One day we went up to Kelsey's house and we just pitched him the idea. And he goes, what the hell, I'm in. Sure, what the hell, I'm in. Now, we go, great, fantastic. And what we later learned was, once I read the script, if it's funny, I'm in.
You know, Kelly, there are some people who know what they want. They reach out and take it. They call these people livers of life. Others sit on the sidelines, watching and judging, racked with jealousy. We may call these people jealousy-racked watchers and judgers of livers, of life. A tortured metaphor, perhaps, but nonetheless apropos. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have an appointment with life.
I had worked with Kelsey before. I had worked with Patty before. It was just, you know, they put together an amazing cast for that show. So I have thought about it over the years. Yeah.
This is episode 17 of the Back to You podcast, Hostage Watch. I'm Lights Camera Jackson. Thank you for listening. This is the second to last episode of the Back to You podcast and the last episode that focuses on an episode of Back to You because 17 episodes were produced. 14 aired on Fox. 3 did not. They only aired on Australian television in the summer of 2008. And then we'll do the final episode next time that'll focus on the impact of this show, what's happened in the decade since, stories, things like that, a little bit of review of the podcast as well, some of the highlights of all the guests we've had on the show and all the big discoveries that we have made about the greatest one-season sitcom in television history. Gonna give you a few more here before we get into Hostage Watch, which is the true series finale of Back to You. Last time on the podcast, I played you the first half of co-creator Steve Levitan's conversation with the Television Academy about Back to You. He ended it by saying, the big mistake, the reason why the show only lasted a year is because they took it to the wrong network, Fox instead of CBS. He picks up from there with some struggles with Fox in making the show and some personal challenges for him as well, and regarding this as a watershed moment in his creative career. Here's Steve Levitan.
We didn't do anything we disagreed with, but we did some things that we thought were unnecessary and didn't help. At the end of the day, I will say I found that show to be frustrating for me personally, because I think, and I didn't realize it, and maybe it was a culmination of sort of Stacked and Back to You. While I thought everybody I worked with on the show is brilliant, I really, at that moment, standing on that floor, came to realize I don't want to do multicam anymore. I'm done. I can't listen to these rhythms anymore. I can't watch a moment that is small be made large because it needs to be made large because it's in front of an audience. I kept thinking about that pilot in my drawer that was small and personal and subtle, and I didn't want to do it anymore. And I'd see us doing things, big wacky moments, and there was enthusiasm and the crowd was laughing, and I hated it. I hated those moments. I'm like, this is a terrible joke. And we're doing it because it's to me, it's the equivalent of dropping your pants to get a laugh. And I was being overly harsh about it, but I had reached that point. It was a personal, internal personal moment for me. I don't think Chris was on the same page in terms of being sick of multicam. It's really, really, he hadn't done single camera up to that point. He didn't even know that world. And there were things about that world I was dreading. But I just wanted to, when that was canceled and we again licked our wounds for a little while and came back together, I just said, you know, I just want to do something real. More than anything else, I want it to be real. I don't want there to be a false, fakey, sitcom-y moment in it. Let's try something different. Again, to me, if I look back on it as the big thing, that's that Larry Sanders moment when I said, I want to do that. I want it to be, feel, I want that different kind of writing. That's what this moment was for me. I can't do it anymore.
But here's the thing. If Back to You was on CBS and lasted for several more years, heck, it could still be on the air today, potentially, would Steve Levitan have been complaining as much about the timing of multicam sitcoms and hearing the audience's laughs and things like that when he's getting awards upon awards and money galore? I'm sure the cast of Back to You, starting from season two on, would have probably been nominated for Emmys and Golden Globes. Certainly Ty Burrell, Josh Gad, Kelsey, Patricia, Fred. Patricia was actually nominated for a Satellite Award for Best Actress in a TV comedy or musical. The Satellite Awards, it's kind of a B-level awards group, but they've been around for a long time, and they make some interesting decisions every year when it comes to their film choices and their TV choices. They nominated Patricia Heaton for Back to You. Of course, we'll dissect this more on the next episode of the Back to You podcast, but I'm thinking Steve Levitan might have thought things differently if Back to You had lasted several more years. Nonetheless, very interesting insights from him. Okay, let's go. This is the final episode of Back to You that was produced. The final one, if you watch these episodes in chronological order, it essentially would have kicked off season two, and Fox would have done a huge marketing blast, hopefully, if they had really cared about this show, when it comes to the premise of this episode. This is Hostage Watch. First of all, there's no Back to You is recorded in front of a live studio audience. The episode opens with a News 9 breaking news graphic.
For those of you just tuning in, a gunman has taken hostages at the downtown Pittsburgh Mutual Bank, and our Chuck Darling is inside the building attempting to negotiate the release of those hostages. Gary Sierzewski, can you tell us what's happening?
Kelly, Chuck has now been inside Pittsburgh Mutual Bank for about 7 minutes.
Shots fired!
That was a gunshot. We have shots fired.
So then what the episode does is actually go back in time 2 hours earlier, where Chuck, Kelly, Marsh, Ryan, and Gary are sitting around the news desk, and at that time, it's a slow news day. They're not sure what they're going to do. I have to say, I like Hostage Watch, this episode, for a number of reasons, but in watching this now in 2019, this episode offends transgender people, African Americans, and Koreans. And when you watch them, it's like, oh my gosh, holy cow, you could not say any of this stuff on TV these days. When we review the Back to You podcast, they will certainly be in the category of things you could not get away with on network television anymore, or any kind of television. This episode has a lot of that. Then the gang watches a new promo from another rival anchor. Remember, we had Craig St. Clair, played by Kobe Ryan McLaughlin, who's currently on General Hospital. Well, guess what? The actor playing Channel 3 anchor Chad Brackett is also on General Hospital. And Chad Brackett is played by actor James Patrick Stewart. So they watched this promo because Chad Brackett is doing a new series called There's No Place Like Homeless, where Chad Brackett decides to pretend to be a homeless person and see what that lifestyle is like. Chuck is not very pleased with what Chad Brackett's been doing lately.
He puts on a fat suit, fat in America. He puts on an afro, black in America. He's not doing the news, he's doing a sketch show.
But you have to admit, when he was the black guy, he could not get a cab.
Yeah, because he looked like a lunatic wearing a fake afro and a big clock around his neck.
Last week, Chuck did a three-part series on mortgages that honestly, according to Kelly, put her to sleep. Meantime, Ryan's been having some issues with his landlord, a pipe burst in his apartment. And so he's on the phone with the landlord complaining about having to pay a $650 bill. But we're not sure if Ryan really gets that far in his conversation with the landlord. all of a sudden, one of the new co-workers we meet at News 9 is Curtis, played by actor John Gloria, who was on an episode of This Is Us in 2017. He's been on Days of Our Lives, House, Modern Family. He was on an episode of that in 2013. Breaks into the news meeting and announces that there's a bank robbery underway with hostages at the Pittsburgh Mutual Bank. There's a gunman in there, and he only wants to talk to one man, Chuck Darling. Chuck is very surprised. Chuck is only wearing his tennis shorts because he had just come from playing tennis in the morning. And so he asks Curtis if he can borrow his pants. Chuck makes a reference to the fact that it's Cowboy Friday, apparently, because Curtis has gone commando. He first asked Marsh for his pants. He's going commando, and as Marsh says, he doesn't want another complaint from HR. So Chuck will get Curtis's pants, and Marsh makes a reference to the fact that that bank is his bank, the one that he goes to. That's very important, coming up here on this episode. But of course, the one who's concerned the most, as everybody's getting ready to do live shots and break into programming. Ryan's getting ready. Gary's going to go down and do some reporting live outside the bank. Marsh is going to go on the air with Kelly. Kelly is the most concerned, even more so than Chuck, who feels invigorated and entitled. He has to be down there. He says, this is what we do, even in such a dangerous situation. Chuck doesn't quite know the full extent yet. Kelly has to say to him, why are you going down there? You have a daughter now. Why would you do this? Why would you risk your life? They have a bit of an argument, and at the end of it, Kelly says to Chuck, I hope you get shot. Whoa. Emotions are running high. Then we go into the control room for the very first time, and Ryan is in there setting things up. They've got Captain Dave in the chopper. Gary's down there, they're ready to start the live shot, but Ryan tells Gary that they did some testing and people find Gary to be a little stiff. He's really not sure what to think of that, so as he does the live shots, he's very loose, way too loose, considering he's covering such a serious news event. But he does lighten the mood for the TV viewers. This show is still a comedy after all, but it's too bad that so few TV viewers have ever seen this episode. But then we go to one of the funniest moments of the entire series of Back to You. Kelly and Marsh are going on the air, telling everybody that a gunman is holding hostages. He only wants to talk to Chuck Darling. Chuck is about to go in. And because it is his bank, Kelly decides to ask Marsh more about the bank itself.
Coincidentally, News 9 sports anchor Marsh McGinley has been a longtime patron of the bank. Marsh, what can you tell us about the physical layout?
Not much, Kelly. I usually use the drive-through. I would go inside, but the place has absolutely no parking.
Look, Marsh, are there some elevated positions near the bank where the police could get a look at what's happening inside?
Well, an excellent vantage point would be the parking garage directly across the street, which is $2 each half hour, but I'm sorry, I'm not made of money.
The first time I watched this episode, which was when the DVD came out in October of 2008, I could not stop laughing. So funny. So then Gary asks Chuck just before he goes in how he's feeling, and Chuck says, I'm not scared. He goes over to the SWAT team, gets a bulletproof vest on, but the officer tells him, look, sometimes these gunmen ask for specific people just so they can shoot and kill them. You could walk in and he could shoot you right in the head. Sinks in a bit now to Chuck. Maybe he shouldn't be here. Now, before they had gone on the air, Kelly and Marsh were talking things out. Of course, a tense situation for everyone. And Kelly tells Marsh that the last thing she said to Chuck was that I hope you get shot. She now feels terrible. And before Chuck goes in, she gets him in his earpiece and she tells him that she loves him. And Chuck has to go. But then she kind of, says to Marsh, I said it like an I love you man kind of thing. Not a romantic sort of thing. That's what this episode would have set up for season two, I'm sure, of Back to You, is would Chuck and Kelly actually get back together? So now we're in the bank. Chuck is there. All of a sudden, this gunman comes out from the corner of the room, and Chuck basically says, here I am. And the gunman says, who are you? Turns out, the gunman wanted Chad Brackett, not Chuck Darling. An obvious mix-up. At first, Chuck doesn't want to go out there and get Chad Brackett. He wants to be the one involved in all of this. He says, "You can shoot me if you want. I'm not going out there." The hostages are locked up in the break room. The gunman says he hasn't slept in 3 days, and the bank is taking his house. Now that's very important. Remember what Chuck said earlier in the episode? He just did a 3-part series on mortgages. Chuck Tatham, we had him on a couple weeks ago on the Back to You podcast. He wrote this episode and perfectly ties things together as Chuck is trying to see what this gunman is all about. Gracie calls on his phone. The gunman takes Chuck's phone and throws it across the room. And it's at that moment that Chuck realizes, what am I doing here? Chuck sits the gunman down and tries to explain to him how he can save his house. The gunman's wife, who they're currently separated, but she was in the military, so Chuck talks about the Service Members Relief Act. And it puts the gunman to sleep. The gunman has issues following through on things and with meth, and now the house being taken, he's really stressed. And Chuck tries to calm him down, but calms him down too much to the point of where he's asleep. Before we find out what happens there, I should tell you that while this was going on, Ryan's adrenaline is flowing, so he picks up the control room phone.
Stupak, you're paying for me to move my furniture, you're putting me up in a hotel, I'm parking my bike for free, and watch your tone. Okay, Mom, listen up. I'm not coming over this weekend. You're not calling me Bear Bear anymore. And stop making your famous lasagna. Nobody likes it. I'm gonna regret that.
We see Marsh make his apology to the Korean people. And then, right after Chuck talks about the mortgages, and the gunman is asleep, he takes the gun out of his hand and tries to run out the door, but Chuck trips on something. The gun goes off and flies across the room. Chuck falls and the gunman wakes up, but of course everybody outside, including Gary on the scene and everybody in the control room, thinks that maybe Chuck actually got shot. We see Kelly delivering the news of the reports of shots fired. And the flashback section ends and we're back to live events. And you can see the coldness in her eyes that she doesn't know what to do. The father of her child may have just been shot and killed inside a bank. This is not the kind of stuff you normally see on a half-hour live in front of a studio audience sitcom. A lot of these streaming platforms these days, Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, can go into interesting territory with their shows. But again, normally when you're dealing with a gunman, it's a drama. It is not a comedy where these kinds of situations are actually played up for laughs. This is a bold storyline, one that I think pays off really well, and we're about to see why. So the SWAT teams come in, and they get Chuck, and the gunman doesn't know what happened because he fell asleep. He's like, "Did you karate chop me?" And Chuck's like, "Yes, I did." Now, of course, there are security cameras who probably saw what really happened, but for Chuck, it's a win. Obviously, it's a win because he's still alive. They get all the hostages out, and they take the gunman into custody. It's an even bigger win when Chuck walks out and Chad Brackett, who's out there reporting along with Gary, tries to interview him and ask him what happened inside. Chuck doesn't say a word. He simply straightens his rival's tie, jabs him in the chin, and continues on walking. News 9, of course, will get the exclusive. Everyone is extremely relieved, from Marsh to Gary to Ryan and especially Kelly. When Gary gets back to the station, Ryan tells him that he's got to tone it way down, but in adrenaline-pumping situations like that, you could not beat me in Halo 3. That is currently Ryan's favorite game. Marsh, on the air before they signed off, said that there was a certain street, because of all the police activity, that is closed, so drivers should avoid that at all costs. But in fact, this wasn't true at all. He just said that because he takes this street every night around this time to go home, and he doesn't want to have to deal with traffic. That is the trivia question for this episode, Hostage Watch. What is the name of the street? It's actually an avenue. I'll even give you that. What's the name of the avenue that Marsh says on air that people should avoid because of the police activity surrounding this hostage situation? In order to answer this correctly, you've got to watch Hostage Watch Take the Back to You series DVD out of your local library. Watch it. Watch this episode. If you've been with this podcast from the beginning, you gotta see how it ends. It's on disc 3, the last episode, Hostage Watch. Submit your guess on Twitter at Back to You Pod for your chance to win a copy of the complete series on DVD. It can be yours. A piece of television history can be yours. Do it. Tweet me the answer at Back to You Pod for your chance to win. And on the last episode of this podcast, the next one, I will announce the winner of the Back to You series DVD. So, how does Back to You end? Well, the last scene with legitimate dialogue involves Chuck and Kelly where else but in their office. Kelly is very pleased that Chuck made it back alive, and she is stunned to find out that the gunman didn't even want Chuck, but Chad Brackett instead. And then Chuck sits in his chair, and he reflects. He questions whether or not the dangerous aspect of the news business is still for him.
Been in some dangerous situations before. Raging floods, war zones, all of it. This is the first time I thought, I gotta get out of here. This isn't worth it. Damn. I lost my edge because of a fourth grader.
Maybe. But it's a good trade. So maybe you'll think twice before doing this again?
Yeah. Yeah, but I'll probably still do it. Don't forget, the guy that ran into that building is the guy that you love.
Okay, you know what? I was waiting for that. Oh, God.
That's the beauty of it. Love is worth waiting for.
I said, I love you, man. And I only said that because I thought you were going to get shot.
Instead, it was you who got shot by an arrow through the heart.
Okay. I said it as a friend, and I retracted it immediately.
Yeah, but you're still glad I didn't get killed.
I guess.
There it is. Love. L is for the way you look at me.
That's how Back to You ends, with Chuck singing L-O-V-E. The last scene of Back to You. That one was the last one with dialogue. But the actual last scene, with the credits on the screen, is what the actors do after every episode in front of that live studio audience. They walk out to them, everybody's cheering and applauding, and they are as well, and they're hugging, and they're clapping, and they've got smiles on their faces. So we see Kelsey Grammer, Patricia Heaton, Fred Willard, Ty Burrell, Josh Gad, in black and white, standing out in front of the crowd, thanking everyone for coming, and hugging each other. We don't hear anything, but we see all that happening. It's a very emotional moment because this episode never made it to American television. If you were with this show, it's a very bittersweet moment. We don't know if there was a little vignette at the end that would have been in there if this episode had ended normally on Fox. Maybe it would have ended with the LOVE. We don't know. But to have this be the ending is like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is the end of Back to You. Hostage Watch is a standout episode of Back to You for a number of reasons. The storyline, the emotional aspects, some big comedic moments, and some real possibilities. This is an episode that really showcased Josh Gad in ways that we hadn't seen before. He took total control of this live situation, often in the control room itself, and was very commanding and very funny. Ty Burrell's doing his thing, shows off a perfect Marsh McGinley, and it explores what could have been that will they, won't they, Chuck and Kelly, that could have lasted into further episodes. Of course, Gracie is mentioned. We don't see Gracie in this episode. And Amy Farrington, who played Margaret, was here on the Back to You podcast midway through this run, and she said there was a little bit of Margaret that was written into this episode, but she could not film it. She was doing a movie, I think, at that time. I don't know how Margaret would have fit into this. We also see the introduction of Curtis, who probably would have been a new supporting character, a minor character, working around the newsroom. And Chad Brackett, who I think would have become a major player. They might have brought back Craig St. Clair and have Chad Brackett and Chuck Darling, all with the letter C. That would have been fun. Some stuff I'm sure was in the works. So this is the last episode of the Back to You podcast that covers an episode of the show. You now know everything there is to know about the 17 episodes of Back to You. But what happened afterwards? Remember when Kelsey Grammer got that heart attack? Yeah, that was just a few weeks after Back to You got canceled. What did all the stars go on to? And when I met all of them, I've mentioned the Fred Willard story here on the show, but when I met Josh Gad and Patricia Heaton and Kelsey Grammer and Ty Burrell and co-creator Steve Levitan, what did they say? What did they think about their experiences on Back to You? How has Back to You been regarded over the past decade in the television industry? How has the world of TV news been portrayed in television shows and films since Back to You? And what did we accomplish here with the Back to You podcast? What did we learn about this show that we wouldn't have uncovered otherwise? All of that and more on the next and final episode of the Back to You podcast, where we'll also give away the complete series DVD. So much to look forward to. Hope you've been with us this entire time. If not, you gotta catch up before the last episode, Impact and Stories. So get ready for it. I'm Lates Camera Jackson. Thanks for listening to the Back to You podcast.